meeting of the new year. No, first meeting of the new year, actually. We met in December. Mm-hmm. So hope everyone had a great holiday. The year's off to a terrific start. And looking forward to 2023 being a boom year for the SRC. And we'll get into a lot of that later, but I appreciate all of you so much. And we have a very important job to perform. And I'm happy and excited to get going with all of you in this full year of my term as chair. So with that being said, we'll go to the roster, make sure we have a quorum, and then we'll get going.
Okay, I'll just list alphabetically, actually, the list that we have on our website. So is Gary Allen here? Gary? Okay, Scott Becker?
I'm here.
Now, I apologize if I mispronounce names, just correct me. Brandy Altergott?
Yep, Altergott, I'm here.
Perfect. Jay Brown?
Present.
Frank Bunamo? Frank Bunamo? No, Frank. John Carnamello?
John Carnamello here.
Will DeMeo? Will DeMeo? Jennifer Jenkins?
Here.
Lucretia Jones?
I'm here.
Frank LaSquadro? Frank LaSquadro? Phil McGallner?
Present.
John McNichol? John McNichol? Okay, Anita Mendoza?
Here.
Deb Reed?
I'm here.
Beth Reel?
I'm here.
Dennis Regan? Dennis Regan? Nicole Rico Serrano?
Here.
Kendra Valente?
Good morning, here.
And Carol Jenkins?
I am here, sorry.
All right, that brings us to 11, and I didn't count Anita and Carol because they're not voting. So 11 without that, so we're good. We only need 8, so.
Terrific. Thank you, everyone. Again, it's great to have everyone here. What I would ask...
I don't know if you want to ask anybody who's not here to introduce themselves, Phil. Sorry, just because I kind of skipped above with the introductions.
Sure. We have any invited guests or members of the public who wanted to join the meeting today, please identify yourself so we can put it into the report.
Good morning. Tracy Morin is here from BEP.
Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Tyrell. Sampson is present from BEP.
Good morning, Tyrell. Good to have both of you here.
Good morning, Angelo Vitale, Vocational Rehab for Bethby.
Good morning, Angelo. All right, if there's no one else, any members of the public? Okay, I'm going to reach out to the membership committee and find out. I don't know if we're keeping track of, maybe it's my job, keep track of members of the SRC who are not routinely making the meetings. And if for some reason they're missing, quite a few meetings as in the bylaws, we'll contact them to see if they're still interested in participating. And if not, we'll seek other volunteers throughout the state. It's important to have people who attend the meetings. With that said, we'll go to public comment. Any public comment? I suppose not, since we don't have any members of the public. Hearing none, we'll go on to the work groups. And I'm going to begin with a little bit out of order and take Scott for the Treasury report, since he may have to leave early. So, Scott.
All right, thank you. Good morning, all. So, expenses since the December meeting, the
Canada Bee Newsline for $25,416.68. National Council of State Agencies for the Blind for their spring conference for the chair, $450. The Council of State Administrators for Vocational Rehab, their spring conference, again for the chair, $795. We had a Mantis Q40 Braille display for the tech lab. That totaled $2,693.45. We had an Olympus DM720 recorder for $176.50. A Victor Stream for $484.03. And a Clover Book Pro for $2,905.15. So those are the expenditures since the last meeting in December.
Okay, great. Any comments on the treasurer's report or questions? I would like to bring something up that I spoke with Carol about and Andrew Norton recently. Again, I've only been a member for 2 years, and I questioned that when we get a treasurer's report to the SRC and it's presented, does the SRC itself have a budget? Is there a budget item that these funds are coming from, tagged SRC? And from what I learned, and Carol can correct me if I'm wrong, there really is not an SRC budget. This is money being spent from VR dollars to purchase all these. And so I was a little confused to the fact that why it's being read as a treasury report and expenditure from the SRC, when it's really not, because we don't have a budget. We didn't vote on spending any money. So that was always a little bit confusing, but apparently it's the way it's always been done. So we do not have funds. We do not get an account somewhere with SRC on it. I think this is more than a treasury report. I think it would be served wiser to have it presented as expenditures in the VR program itself. I don't know if anyone has a comment or questions on that. It just has been a little confusing to me that
Carol,
yes, Carol.
You're right. There's not set dollars for an SRC budget that we have that tracks expenditures. But the SRC can vote on things like the cost of the satisfaction survey and the needs assessment, or if we do an in-person meeting, if somebody needs transportation, like an SRC member needs transportation reimbursement. So you can vote on those things and have those expenditures that are allowable expenses under VR, if that makes sense.
But those do not need prior approval? Those items?
No, they don't. Well, the needs assessment and stuff, I did ask for prior approval from RSA for that. So I did. And that was
also, if I could interject too, just to clarify also, that everything that we just reported on is a state plan goal under our SRC goals. So they were voted on by RSA and by the SRC. So the items mentioned are all in our state plan. So to send our chair to conferences are listed as a state plan goal. When we call it innovation and expansion funds, because most of our funding is for client services. So that was voted on. The other items were all for the tech lab, except for the Victor Stream and the recording devices, is because that was ordered also for a state plan goal for doing tutorials. So our technologist bought some better equipment to be able to record the tutorials. So that still is listed as an innovation and expansion fund. So our goal is to upgrade our tech lab in our state plan goal. So everything listed, that's why we report on it, is because it's in the state plan as innovation and expansion goals.
Oh, totally understood. I just want to clarify that, yes, the state plan was approved by the board or the council, but these individual expenses were not individually voted on.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just want to clarify that. We don't have an SRC, quote unquote, budget checking account that Scott's writing a check to pay for these things with, since he's a treasurer.
Yeah.
He's just reporting on the SRC expenditures, VR expenditures. I just want to make that clear. I want to go backwards real quickly because when my voice went, I skipped over the fact that we had a meeting in December. However, we didn't have a quorum, so we could not vote to accept the minutes from September's meeting. So I know that those meeting minutes were sent out again with the meeting reminder and the Teams link. If there are no questions or amendments to the meeting, if someone would like to make a motion to accept those minutes from the September 2022 meeting.
Chris. Oh, go ahead.
Make a motion to accept the minutes from December meeting.
Okay, can you identify yourself, please, for the record?
Brandy Altergat.
Brandy, thank you. I just don't know all the voices. And I don't know if LaTanya does as well. And second, was that Scott?
Yes.
Scott Beckner seconds. All in favor accepting the minutes of the 2022 September SRC meeting, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Any abstentions? Okay, so moved. The minutes of the September 22 meeting passed unanimously. Next work group would be Deb Reed for the customer satisfaction survey. Deb?
Sure. Okay, so after our meeting in December, we did meet, the group met, which is Phil and myself and Jennifer Jenkins from Disability Rights Connecticut. We met in January as well as February, and upon examination of the questions of the survey, Jennifer brought to our attention that the information on students in the VR program as well as their supports are not included in the survey, and that has been mandated since 2016. So there's another very big reason why this survey needs to be done completely over, in our opinion. And so our next steps, I think, are going to be, you know, are we going to stick with CCSU, or are we going to try to contract with another vendor? And that's all I have right now.
Harold?
Yes, Carol.
So I want to clarify. There's two different things happening. One is the VR satisfaction survey that happens every single year. That's one thing. That is not mandated to have pre-employment transition services surveyed as a part of that. The second thing that happens every 3 years is federally mandated, which is the Consumer Statewide Needs Assessment, the CSNA. That is mandated to have the pre-employment transition services survey as a part of that. So it's two different things. One happens annually, one happens every 3 years. So, and I do have the two price quotes from CCSU, if you would like me to tell you what those are.
Okay, I guess I apologize for the misunderstanding. Thank you for clarifying that, Carol. Yes, certainly, go ahead.
Okay, so and I'll tell you now, no, I don't have the prices backward. So for the Consumer Statewide Needs Assessment, the federally mandated one to happen every 3 years, and it's due in 2023, is $23,104. The annual VR satisfaction survey that happens every single...
Leave the door open so he can get out.
I'm going to repeat. So the annual VR satisfaction survey that happens yearly is $35,202.10.
Oh, wow.
I did respond to CCSU because I cannot fathom why the annual survey, which is
shorter in length and it's only closed cases that get surveyed, why it's approximately $12,000 higher than the much more involved, federally mandated every 3-year needs assessment. And I have not received an answer back yet. But those were the budget proposal quotes I got for each one.
This is Jennifer.
Yes, Jennifer.
From the Client Assistance Program. Carol, I know that we had discussed with CCSU opening up that satisfaction survey to more than closed cases. So I don't know if that is part of the estimate or...
When I looked at the scope of work, one of the bullet points that CCSU sent me, and I literally just got this like 10 minutes before the meeting, was that the survey would be identical to last year's.
Okay.
So they're saying it's identical, but yet it's gone up. I don't know how much it was last year. I'm sorry. I probably should know that, but it's gone up considerably, and I don't know why from them. So one thing, I know it's the annual satisfaction survey. I think it's a state plan goal, right?
Mm-hmm. It is. I just feel that this expenditure being large, I think it would go before the SRC for a vote.
Well, both of the, yes, correct. Both have to have a, need a vote, and both are due this year. And just to give you time frames for each one, so the needs assessment, the $23,000 one, we would need a draft report back by November 1st, and we would need the final report back by December 1st, because that's what the SRC to look at for our state plan that we would start in a December, early January to set those goals. And so the annual satisfaction survey, April begins the fourth quarter for the program year for that. And so that ends June 30. And so we would have, you know, maybe the rest of the calendar year this year to stretch it out to get it done for the current year that we're in. So we're approaching, you know, really tight deadlines, just so everybody is fully aware of what we're looking at.
Okay. Maybe Mary knows this. What is the time process or the time frame? And if we were to, you know, request other bids for the surveys, is that several months? You know, would we be able to do that in time? Because I would recommend that we wouldn't, I'll put it to a vote because it's not my decision. But since we're, you know, close to crunch time, you know, that's like $900 a person for that annual customer satisfaction survey. They only surveyed 35 people last year, I believe. That, you know, there were 55 entitled people to be surveyed, closed cases, and then I think 35 actually responded. That's almost $1,000 per client. Seems like very, very much a lot of money. So, I guess without having the information of why the expenditure went up so dramatically, you know, over 30%, I believe that, you know, I'll ask the question, does anyone want to make a motion that we table the vote on expending the money for the surveys until we get more information? Do you have any comments on that or thoughts?
The only thing that maybe I could add to what you're saying, Phil, that might help make the decision is that was a record low year because of COVID. We're already right now at 79 closures for the year. So the amount of people that we will be serving will be higher. So I just wanted to take that into consideration. I could give you the exact number of where we're at, but our closures go from, when we're measuring this, go from July 1st to June 30th, and we're already at like close to 80. So it will be closer to 100, you know, than our 50. And that was because of COVID. So that was a record low year. And I think it was a little bit higher last year. 50 was the year before. Last year was around 70. This year will be more like 80, 90, you know. So I don't know, just to clarify that in case, you know, that affects.
Sure. But historically, they're not getting 100% participation. So if they put out 70-something and got 35 results, they're only tabulating data for 35 Yeah, respondents, exactly. Not 85. She, so, yeah.
She did implement an online survey too this past year, which is new. I don't know about the increase. Actually, I have to, like you said, I don't have an answer to that. But I just know that we did implement an online survey. So, you know, like, people are able to do it online now, which already had increased the response rate. So.
So they're already doing the work for this survey. So we're kind of bound to pay for it.
Yeah.
They started the
yeah.
work. Right. Have you had any feedback on the survey? That it is accessible and people are completing it?
Oh yeah, it's definitely accessible, and we've already gotten a much bigger success rate. I'd have to go back to the, I feel like we should, you know, maybe because we did it quarterly, I think we're behind, you know, so we'd have to go back to last year's survey, you know, but, you know, like there's no, we only changed it in July, so we only had one quarter of it. So we don't have the survey going right now. So we're already like 6-7 months behind. So our year ends June 30th. So as far as your answer, and Carol, you can jump in on this too. I would say absolutely near zero chance that you would get that approved by the time we need it. Just because we're very short staffed, but even if we weren't, that process takes way, way longer.
So are we 7 months behind because we haven't paid them and they stopped doing work? Why are we behind?
This is Carol. We are behind because the contract for both of these things hadn't been started until I started working on them. It might have been January.
Okay, that's right.
When I, so it was because the contracts weren't in place, and they're still technically not in place because they're not signed. I just,
wow.
One of those quotes I literally got right before this meeting, so I've been constantly weekly emailing CCSU asking for their budget outline and all this stuff, and it has taken a while.
Well, any discussion or any comments from SRC council members? Any opinions?
This is Brandy Elscott.
Yes, Brandy.
I'm sorry. My question is, what have we found from these surveys? Have we found them to be useful to us? Have we determined how to improve services in any way, shape, or form? Like, are they, I mean, I've taken one of the surveys, so, personally, and I mean, it was very generic. How do you feel your services were? Is there anything, you know, we could do to improve? How were you satisfied? So on and so forth. But I guess my question is, have we found any places where we've been able to improve by using these survey services?
We typically have in the past, you know, made policy changes based on our results of the survey. Yeah, we definitely have. There's an area that, because we do have the longitudinal, like the whole, you know, history that we compare each year. So say that our technology, like, dramatically decreases, or an area of the state that, like, council satisfaction, you know, like, those are the things that, like, for me, that I, you know, stand out to me, low vision providers, you know, there's a lot of different things that people are measured on, that we actually have in the past, you know, we haven't recently, but we have in the past made policy changes based on the results of the survey, definitely, you know, to try to improve on the services, so... You know, like for me as a supervisor, it like kind of helps me with the, because they do regions of the state. So if there's somebody who's like in the northwest region of the state, for example, that like was typically high, but now they're low, or, you know, or they're significantly lower than some of the other regions, you know, that I'll take a look at that too. You know, like they're, you know, we're small enough state, you know, that geographically we do differ. For sure, you know, but like for, you know, if it's dramatic, like everybody in the eastern part of the state is very unhappy, you know, we got to look at that. So that's, those are the areas that I use it, you know, Carol, you know, she's new, obviously, but like prior to that, Brian would look at it as other things as well, policy changes. So we have in the past, what we do is we take the survey and we would bring it to the SRC, any results that we feel need to be improved. we're in such a bad year, like our time, I should say, you know, because of COVID, like everything's just like, all those results are just kind of, you know, a little bit different. Like, so you have to take it with a grain of salt because, you know.
I personally think it should stay. I just was asking for the group because I personally think it should stay because I'm a person myself who would, I want feedback. I want you to tell me where things could be improved and so I can make changes because you want to better your business. So I think it should stay personally.
Yeah, it's mandated, Brandy. It's mandated. And what Carol says is exactly correct, the mayor said, but I just want to remind the members who had not been on the previous meeting or maybe the one before that, something that the work group for the customer SAC survey has been looking at is that, yes, we get some data from the survey, but I think some of the data I received, with there are approximately over 400 clients in the VR program on the books, yet the survey, the last survey, only got results from less than 10% of them. They were only surveying clients in the VR program that had satisfactory closure of the cases, which means they got a job, retained a job, got an advance in the job. So all the other people in the program are not being surveyed. So we don't really know where we are in the program. Yes, people got jobs, are going to give it great marks, and that's what we got, B+, usually most things. But if we're not looking at the whole VR program in total, we're not doing our job properly, because we're not getting the data that where are we struggling in. So that's something the work group is looking at for the next survey. Since we're already in this year for the current survey, then once moving forward, we're going to make sure that more people are surveyed. So we get a true sample of what people are experiencing in the program. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes perfect sense, and I actually think that's even a better idea to get a whole on a whole because, as you just said, if you're only satisfying the people who are surveying the people that are getting jobs and benefits, of course they're going to have positive reviews. But I think surveying everybody on a whole throughout the whole vocational rehabilitation program is a better idea.
And it's actually, frankly, it's what needs to be done. If you look at the federal regulation requiring this Customs Act survey, it's supposed to be a survey of the program, not successful, completed recipients. Carol, do you just want to comment real quickly on what Nebraska does for the customer satisfaction survey? Or did you were there?
So the VR satisfaction surveys in Nebraska, my computer's interrupted me, I'm so sorry. I killed it. Just kidding.
You're still with us.
I'm still with you. Okay, I'm like, oh my goodness, I killed it.
Come back.
I was invited to other meetings and it keeps pulling me out of this one I thought. Okay, so sorry. In Nebraska for the VR satisfaction survey, we surveyed all closed cases, the ones that were successful, unsuccessful, meaning you either met your vocational goal or you didn't for whatever reason, or the closures where, okay, you may have been found eligible for services but didn't do a plan for employment, which is a status 30, technically. So we would do those, but then we would also survey those clients who were in what we would call status 20, which is ready for employment, so they've had their skills training, they're actively looking for a job, and then we would survey our students and those what we would call in status 18, which is like the training period where people are going to school, working on blindness skills, whatever that is, just to get an overall view of how the services were going. In each area, we would target like different things we would want to know. So it wasn't just blanket, we would ask everybody the same questions. Like the closure questions were different than the ready for employment questions. So we wanted to know different things from each of those areas, which is why we did it that way.
That's great, thank you. And again, Nebraska used Louisiana Tech, which seemed to be considerably less money than Central Connecticut State University is charging us. So I know we're going to be reaching out to them again, trying to get some estimates.
Yeah, and I did, Phil, and I had a reminder on my calendar to reach out again because they were busy. They didn't know if they could take on the extra work. And Dr. Bell is out of his office, and so I have not gotten a response back yet.
Great. And I'm hoping to do some networking when we're down in Bethesda at the conferences and maybe meet some people from other